Good morning. Welcome to Trinity United Methodist Church Time for Worship. We're glad you could join us, and we hope you enjoy the message from Pastor Dave Barrett.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, Trinity. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. I can feel His power. I can feel His grace. Shall we pray this morning then? As always, good and gracious and loving God, we say thank you. Thank you in our hearts for all the blessings you've given to us each and every day. Thank you for those who worked last week, 2 days packing and 2 days of setup and tear down and distributed to the community 500. Bless 500 backpacks. Bless each and every one of those children who receive and bless those who prepared. Lord, we ask a special prayer this morning for Martha. Lift her up. Give her the strength to come back and be part of our congregation because she is an integral part of us and a part of our family. We pray for all of those who are suffering through COVID and ask that you reach out and touch and say yes for those who have not been vaccinated. Bless them. Give them the ability to work through. For those which have had, and we ask that they all be vaccinated. Bless each one and make them realize just how lucky we are with the miracle of a vaccine. For each one of us which has a prayer in our hearts, sometimes it's thank you. Sometimes it's wow, how good you are to us. Sometimes it's a help me, Lord. We pray we help each and every one of us. We pray for those who serve us in this community, Lord, whether it's police, fire, EMT, give them the protection so that as they come and serve us, that they too are protected. And serve and then go home at the end of the day. Lord, we pray for our military, for those who serve us wherever they may be and protect us. Be with them and give them protection as well so that they may serve and continue to serve. And finally, Lord, we pray for President Biden. We ask that you provide him with leadership and give him all who advise him that we as a country can live together as we need to live in peace and harmony and justice. Lord, we pray all this in your Son's name. Amen. Aletta?
Please stand if you are able. Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice.
Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications.
If you, O Lord, should mark my iniquities, Lord, who could stand?
But there is forgiveness with you, so that you may be revered.
I wait for the Lord. My soul waits, and in his word I hope.
My soul waits for the Lord. More than those who watch for the morning. More than those who watch for the morning.
O Israel, hope in the Lord. For with the Lord there is steadfast love, and with him is a great power to redeem.
It is he who will redeem Israel from all his iniquities.
Shall we sing? O Master, let me walk with thee.
Thank you.
Please be seated. Shall we pray? Bread of heaven, you feed us in the depths of grief and sin and hostility. Nourish us with your word through the long hours of tears and in the dawning awareness of our need for forgiveness, so that we may be redeemed by your steadfast love. Amen. Shall we pray? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Hear the good news. We have been forgiven, and we are always loved.
Today's scripture reading is John chapter 6, verse 35, and verses 41 through 51. Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." Then the Jews began to complain about him because he said, "I am the bread that came down from heaven." They were saying, "Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, 'I have come down from heaven'?" Jesus answered them, "Do not complain among yourselves. No one can come to me unless drawn by the Father who sent me, and I will raise that person up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, 'And they shall all be taught by God.' Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except the one who is from God. He has seen the Father. Very truly I tell you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate manna in the wilderness, and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats of this bread will live forever, and the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh." This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thank you, Mary Jo. God is good. And all the time. Amen. Amen. It is simply titled St. Catherine's Monastery. It is a monastery, and it has been a monastery for about 1,500 years. It's not its real name, but it's simply called St. Catherine's. It's called St. Catherine's because it is right next to or adjoining a very small community. And it is located out in the middle of the godforsaken Sinai Desert. There's nothing there but mountains, rocks, and sand. Sally and I visited there in January of 2018. It was cold and windy. Before we were going to go, my good friend Helen Ackerson asked me, "Are you going to visit St. Catherine's?" And I said, "Yes." And she said, "Great, you'll love it." It was one of the places she enjoyed visiting, and there is a feeling in St. Catherine's of God's presence. Because you see, tradition says it's built on the site where God and Moses had their conversation, built on the site of that burning bush. I did not ask Helen if that bush is still there or if it's still burning, but I figured I'll go and see. Well, the day we got there, we were told they were closed. It was a weekday, but they were closed. They were celebrating some kind of a holiday, and we had two small busloads of people, and our tour guide made a phone call, frantically, trying to speak to somebody inside of the monastery to say, "At least please open for this, whatever else." And of course, they just simply said, "No." So we sat outside and waited for a while, in the cold and the wind, and then got back on the bus. So I can't tell you whether that bush is still there. And if it's still burning, you might have to ask Helen to get that confirmed. But I can tell you, it is there. And if you read Exodus chapter 3 and chapter 4, you get the whole story. So let's start with chapter 3. It says that, yes, that Moses was out tending sheep, working for his father-in-law. He happened to see this bush burning. Now, it was not uncommon because there are just a few bushes in the area. There's not too many. Like I said, it's rock and sand and hills and wind and cold, and that's about all that's there. But lightning could have struck that bush. And so he walked over a little closer to see it, and he was amazed because, you see, as the fire was working around the bush, it continued to stay green. It was not consumed. It didn't go to ash. It just simply stayed green. And as he got close, a voice spoke out of that bush and said, "Moses, you're on holy ground. Take your shoes off." That's what he did. He took his shoes off. And then the voice continued to speak to him. Of course, it's God speaking to him through the burning bush. It's God having a conversation with Moses, telling him that, yes, what he's going to do. Saying, "Moses, you're going to go back to Egypt. I have listened for 500 years to my people. They've cried. I know they're slaves. I know they're in bondage. I'm going to help them. You're going to lead them. You're going to lead them out of Egypt back to the land, the promised land, if you wish to call it Canaan or Israel, whatever you want to call it today, back to there." Well, as you can imagine, Moses had quite a conversation. Because Moses didn't leave Egypt on the best of terms. It was probably a detriment to him to go back. His life would have been threatened. And so we have this chapter 3 and chapter 4, this long conversation between God and Moses. God tells him how he's going to do this. God gives him the power to do it. God gives him signs. And finally, Moses looks at the bush and says, "When I go back," notice he's changed his tune, "when I go back, whom shall I say sent me? Whom shall I tell them? What is your name, God?" was essentially the question. The bush, God speaks, and God says, "I am. I am is my name. I am the God of your ancestors. I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I am the God who will send you back to Egypt. I am." If you like Hebrew, it's pronounced Yahweh. Y-H-W-H. Almost unpronounceable. But that is God's name. There's more to the conversation. I'm not going to go into it because it kind of comes with Moses being kind of whiny. If I do this and I do that, what about this and what about that? Finally, God gets angry and says, "Just go, Moses, just go. And we things will be all right." Three lessons. God's name is I Am. You can have a conversation with God. When God speaks to you, have a conversation and get things understood between the two of you. Just don't be whiny about it, or he'll speak to you the same way. And yes, I can't tell you if that bush is still there at St. Catherine's. And I can't tell you if that bush is still on fire. John chapter 6, verse 35. "I am the bread of life." Jesus speaks, "I am the bread of life. Those who come to me will never be hungry. Those who believe in me will never be thirsty." Jesus says, "I am." That's God's name. Jesus is God, the Son of God. He uses the same name, I Am. And he's telling you what he's going to do for you. No, he's not going to say that, yes, when you get hungry, and we all get hungry. Mine happens about 12:30 every day. Sally looks at me and says, "You're hungry." I go, "Yep, She said, "Well, just don't get angry because we'll have this and this in a while." And you get that hangry notice, right? You need to have something. That's not what we're talking about. When you've got that feeling inside of you that's just nothing, that's just empty, it's hollow, and you don't know what's going on in your life, that's when God comes to you and says, "Yes, if you come to me, you'll never be hungry again. I will fill you with the bread of life. And when you come and speak to me, I will promise, believe in me, I'll give you water which will stop your thirst." That's what he's saying to you. He's saying to you that, yes, I know there's times in your life when things don't feel right. I know there's times in your life when you've walked away from God. I know there's times in your life when things are not right and you've got that hollowness. But come to me. Come to me, and I will feed you. Those who believe in me will never be thirsty. Those who come to me will never be hungry. John chapter 6 begins with a story about Jesus feeding 5,000 people. 5,000 men is what it says. It's probably 10 or 12,000 people. And that's in Galilee on the north side in a place called Topka. And from there then, there's the story which says that, yes, the disciples leave. Jesus stays. He's up on a little hillside. They begin to go across the Sea of Galilee and they sail. The storm comes up. And then there's this wind which whips around. Jesus is up on top of that hillside. He walks on the water over to where they're at. That's from Sight and Sound, the story of Jesus. The next part is they are back in the city of Capernaum, up on the side, the north side. That's Peter's hometown. Jesus has set headquarters there. He stays with Peter in his house, and he begins to teach the people. And so we have this whole start right in through there. In fact, that's where we'll be today, next Sunday, and the Sunday after. All the teachings which follow right through in that section of John chapter 6. And they're all I am. Jesus speaking to you, saying to you, I am. I am the God of your ancestors. I am the God of Abraham and Jacob. Isaac and Jacob. I am your God. I've recommended that you all read the Gospel of Matthew. It's short, it's sweet, it's filled with lots of action. And if you really want some fun, you could go through and you could count how many times Mark says, the Gospel of Mark, Mark says immediately, this happened, this happened, this happened, and this happened. When you get read through with reading all that, take your time, catch your breath, and now read the Gospel of John. A whole different perspective on life and a relationship between God and you. John is much more eloquent. John has got some beautiful stories in there. It starts out, it says, yes, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God, and the Word came and lived among us. That's Emmanuel. The Word came and lived among us. That's Christ. But John has a very interesting point which he wants to make. He wants to talk to you about Jewish people. And the reason he wants to talk to you about Jewish people is because Matthew, Mark, and Luke were written earlier in that first century, somewhere around 50 to 60 AD. John was written later. By this time, the Romans had destroyed the second temple, and there was a great deal of tension between those early Christians, the Romans, and the Jewish community. What happened is that the people who were Christians had been Jewish. And so they wanted to go to synagogue. That was their tradition. They wanted to celebrate Shabbat. They wanted to go to synagogue on Saturday. And then on Sunday, all go together and have a house church. Worship Christ on Sunday. The Jewish leaders said, no. You made up your mind. You're Christian. You believe this Jesus guy is the Messiah. And we don't. So what are you doing here on Saturday in our synagogues? And they tossed them out. So when John begins to talk about the Jews, it's not an anti-Semitic statement. There are some wonderful Jewish people in this world. I have met several. But what he's talking about is the confrontation between the Jewish leadership, Sadducees and Pharisees, which were affecting them at that time in the first century. And so when you read the next line, after, yes, I am the bread of life, he talks about the Jews, but that's Jewish leadership. Don't be anti-Semitic. Understand what the conflict is. They continued to have that confrontation. So John starts on with that. And then the next step after that is there's an interesting statement in there where he talks about the fact that, yes, Christ says that you come to me and I will lead you to God the Father. You come to God the Father through Christ. But then the next step, in the Gospel of John, he says to you, no, 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 it is God the Father who calls you, who draws you in, who wants you to be with him, and he will lead you to Christ. So we've got a left hand going this way and a right hand going that way, and they don't quite mesh. How do we fit all that together? We fit all that together because we remember that on this side, we have God Christ calling you and saying, come to me, I will teach you about not only me, but also God the Father. And on this side, you've got God the Father saying, no, come to me, and I'll teach you about Christ. Who's in the middle? God's Holy Spirit. It takes God's Holy Spirit on either side to bring you together. You're called by God's Holy Spirit. You're called by Christ to understand him. Yes, what is he doing? What did he do for you? And you're called by God the Father, who created you, and simply says, yes, come to me, and through God's Holy Spirit, I will lead you to Christ. When you've got the two of them together side by side, that's grace. That's grace. The undeserved love of God, which comes to you because of the actions of Jesus Christ. God called you. God loves you. You are forgiven because of Jesus Christ. That's grace. And the way they fit together is because God's Holy Spirit put them together. How do you stay together like that? You stay together by the church. The church's purposes is to teach. To teach you about the love of God. To teach you about what Jesus Christ did for you. To teach you about, yes, what did Moses' conversation happen out in the middle of God-forsaken Sinai Desert? Who is God? I am the bread of life. What did Christ do for you? Gave us life for you. And because of that, you have grace. Come to church more than just on Sunday morning. Hopefully, you organize Bible studies. If you don't like Bible studies, you want to stay home and read yourself, that works too. That works too. Read the Gospel of John. Count how many times he says in there, I am. And know that that is God's name. God has called you. Spend some time. Work it together. And know the love of God which comes to you every day. I am. That's God's name. And know, I'll never know whether that burning bush is still at Mount St. Catherine's and is still on fire. Amen. Shall we pray? Gracious Lord, we thank you. We thank you because the love of God is with us. It has called us. God's Spirit is here amongst us. We understand what Christ has done for us. We know that God has created us. And keep your Spirit within us alive and well. Let us go from here as we go each and every day and take your love out to the community and share it with the rest of the world. We pray all this in your Son's name. Amen. There we go. Take my life and let it be. Please stand for the benediction. On every altar in every Christian church, there are two candles. One is because Christ is divine. One is because Christ is human. We understand both sides. On every Christian altar, there should be one candle off to the side, lit. That's the presence of Christ. That's Christ's candle. Christ came into this sanctuary this morning, and Christ will go out with you to preach to the rest of the world. That's your responsibility. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord let the light of his love upon you and give you peace. Go in peace. Serve the Lord. Go in peace. Keep the faith. Spread the faith. Amen.